Thank you, Jonas, for sharing your testimony. What a blessing it is to see that God cares for whatever situation we're in. And I just praise God that the Father's love is there for us. If there's an absence there, the Father cares about their things and He takes care of their things. It's always good to hear a story of a story of redemption, a story of God working in people's lives, and we all have different stories sitting here this morning, but the solution is the same. It's the blood of Jesus, which we sang about, and the cross of Jesus Christ, repentance and coming to Him and believing in Him, and by His grace, He puts us on a path of clarity, a path of victory, so praise God. All right, well, we're going to go on into the message here. If you turn with me to the book of John, my message this morning is on the unity of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. And we're going to be looking at John a little bit, and also in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, we're going to go to the book of John, then Ephesians 4, then end up in John 17, Jesus' prayer. And I know this is something we looked at in the turn of the year, our week of prayer. And but I was just really encouraged and challenged more recently with a disjointed or maybe a dysfunction of relationships, possibly, and also hearing people that are walking away from God. And there's a lot of hope here in these scriptures, if this is where we are today. I'm not saying it is, so I want to share with you what God laid on my heart, but it came out of that thought of there's a unifying that happens, that has to happen with God first, before we can have healthy, lasting relationships in our life. And so with that theme, let's just go into, I want to just pick up a couple verses. You can go with me to John 14 to start. But he says in Ephesians, the text of the message and the call to unity, he says, "As a prisoner, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." Verse 2, "with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." This is in Ephesians 4, just a couple verses. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, let's know that the unity of the Spirit is something opposite from the spirit of unity. Unity in the Holy Spirit must happen first. John 14 and 6, this is who He is, and Jesus establishes this. He says in verse 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And then 10 and 11, we see Jesus and the Father in Him. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." You start to see the establishment of the order, the headship order, the order that they worked together and functioned and are functioning together. John 14, 16 to 18, we see the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you get the picture of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. That is a team tightly knit in unity working together for our benefit here today. And so we see where are we now? 16. "And I pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Notice he calls the Holy Spirit is a being, him. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. Wow, the unity of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then in John 14 and 26, they're laboring and their unity again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Then we go on into John 15. He expresses the vine, the source, the branches are us abiding in him. And we see that union, that unity for the purpose of bringing fruit. He says in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, and the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I don't know that there's any more vocabulary that he could use about the knitting together and the intertwining together that it would explain it better. And I want us to think about as we go through this message of how they're so intertwined and so knit together and so tightly compacted together. That is also Jesus' desire in John 17 for us here this morning. That we would be so closely knit, so compacted together, that every joint there would be no need that doesn't have a source of being supplied. And then we'll look at what hinders that. Okay. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And then in 16, 13 to 15, he says, and the Spirit of truth. Oh, I'm sorry. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. And shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. He, the Spirit, the truth, will show it to us. So here we see that our unity originates from the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit draws us together. And breaking down barriers of race, culture, whatever it may be, even backgrounds. Breaking those barriers and healing that and drawing us together as a body, as a church, the bride. So we all share the same Holy Spirit, and that there's an interconnection that happens, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our lives. Isn't that exciting to have that thought, that there is someone, there's three beings, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, intertwined together, and through them working together, they can dwell in us. God in us, the Son in us, the Spirit of God in us as one. They can dwell in us and we can be walking in victory. Ephesians 4, let's go there. Okay, we're just going to work through this chapter. I want us to see something here this morning that I felt like God was really working in my own heart as I looked at being unified with the Trinity and also the people of God. Okay, I therefore, the prisoner, the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness, meekness, with longsuffering, forbearance, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here's the doctrine. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now here's something we If you're walking with God, here's something that we can all agree on, right? I'm not saying this morning we need to comb our hair all the same, wear it to look the same and talk the same. That's not what I'm talking about. But here's something that we can all agree on, right? This is something that Paul was expressing to the church in Ephesus. So let's get the picture. He's speaking to a church here. Like there's some hope here that he's bringing, a lot of hope. And then the latter part of the chapter, we'll see some warnings that he brings that causes a disjointed effort or dysfunctional body or church and how that happens. But he's given the doctrine here. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There is a call here not only to the pastors, evangelists, teachers, there's a call here to the body of Christ. And the purpose is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. Then it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. Lord, let us be a part of a body like that, where the fullness of Christ is fulfilled, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I feel like we just went over this chapter. I'm not sure when it was, but maybe there's a reason for it. As I'm reading along here, I'm like, we just covered this, didn't we? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted, look at this verse, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual, compacteth means knit together, sewed together. So there's a strong cord, intertwined, effective, effectual, working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Making it effective in love. So here we have the picture that he gives to the church there, that we all come into that unity of faith, and the fullness of Christ is working in our midst, and there's a body that is being supplied everything it needs, compacted, knit together, because those within are forbearing with one another in love. Then he pivots. Look at verse 17 and the rest of the chapter. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We see that putting off and putting on in verse 22 and 24. And that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness, true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then he goes into some things that we need to be aware of that would cause a dysfunction or disunity. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not your sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. How do we give place to the devil? You know, the fact of it is that this is not talking about a false doctrine, but this is talking about a concern for repentance and a concern for to walk with Christ. And that when I'm stuck, there's hope this morning. When I'm stuck in something, there's hope. There's a working through and finding that which brings me out of it. And even if we give place to the devil, or when we do rather, there's hope of coming out of that. A lot of hope. So, but the fact of it is, the devil, when we give place to him and we're willingly giving ourselves and continuously do that, never think that that temptation isn't leading to destruction. Ultimately, that intent, when we give place to the devil, is meant to destroy us, right? It starts with a temptation, and then there's a giving in, and then there's an enjoyment, there's a pleasure in it, and after a while, it's meant to destroy us. And that is devastating to a church, to a body, and most importantly, to the individual. Some of these things go for years, and then all of a sudden, one day, the individual is reminded that, you know what, there is salvation. There's a Jesus that cares, and through the power of His Holy Spirit, I can become one with Him again. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the same which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. He has a solution every time. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then he says, be ye kind-hearted one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, hallelujah. Let there be forgiveness. Let there be a forbearing. Let there be a love in our midst. But first, may there be a looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He will complete what he started. I had to think of this is when I mentioned about feeling stuck. You know, when we go out and we get into the snow with our vehicle or something, we spin and then it settles, and we just sit there and spin. And there's no traction. You can't go anywhere. Sometimes even with four-wheel drive, and you just sit there. You are stuck. Unless someone assists you, or you really find a solution, you won't get out. You can't just sit there and spin. But do we ever experience that in life where it just seems like we're spinning? What's the solution? What's the solution? We have one of two choices. Either we cry out to God, or we reach out to a brother or a sister for help. Sometimes we just need assistance because we're stuck. And that's what the body of Christ is for. That's what the knitting together, that's what the walking together is all about. Walking together in love. Traction is found in walking with Jesus. Then you will be able to walk with his people. Amen. So here we have two illustrations in what we were just reading. One is struggling to surrender to God. We saw some of that, and then the verses kind of, they give you a solution. Willingly sinning, not concerned about the body of Christ. It is a common thing, one who is willingly sinning very likely doesn't have a concern for lost souls or the body of Christ. That is a common theme, because you will only be able to walk in victory when your life is given to Jesus Christ. When He has authority, that Trinity is over your life, then you will have authority first over your own life, and you will be able to pray for others and have believe in victory for their lives. Does that make sense? The authority of God. It mentioned Jesus as the head of the church. That also means the head of our life, where our life is surrendered to Him, and then He, through that, gives us victory and power to live in victory in our life and also pray for others who are walking in sin or who are lost. Thank you, Jesus. That is, the illustration I just gave you is out of order. That is out of the order of God. One that's in order, one who is struggling in a test or trial, resisting a temptation, but standing and striving to walk with God through the power of His Holy Spirit. There is a big difference. It is a matter of where the heart is, but one who is struggling in a test or a trial hasn't lost his connection with God. He's still standing. He's still believing, and he's still desiring to walk with God and being tested and being trained by His Holy Spirit. We must fight for this unity with God and each other. Again, we're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and darkness. And again, why must we fight? Because eventually it will destroy us. Sitting there and just spinning, being okay with where I am, will eventually destroy us. We must fight. We must grow. The role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a unifying being among believers that empowers the church to function. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is not merely a force. He is a person of the Trinity who actively works within us. And this is His role. Conviction. He brings conviction. He convicts us of sin, leading us to repentance. This is one that is abiding in us, like John 15 says. He brings a unity or unification. He equips us with gifts for the edification of the body. He also guides us. When we have no guidance, there's nothing I see. It takes faith to believe. He leads us into truth and helps us walk in alignment with God. 1 Corinthians 12, there's a few verses. Paul illustrates how each member of the body is vital. For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So we have members of the same body, individual members of the same body, but one body working together. And you could take that to the broader body of Christ, the universal body. But here we are. Here is a church body working together. These are the people that I'm excited about working together. So I must forbear with them in love. I must walk with them. I must be accountable to them and be transparent with them, or there will be a dysfunction in that body, because each member won't be supplied if I don't do that. So does your need get met when I walk with Christ in a deeper way? Very likely it could. You know, if you just take all of you together, when you each walk with Christ, is it possible that there will be a need met in one of you or all of you? It says that the whole body will be supplied. Doesn't mean that we don't go into tests and trials. That it's saying, but it'll be supplied. The spiritual things will be there, and the edifying will be there. One body working together to live out the unity of the Spirit. We must embrace diversity, understanding each other, whether gifts, backgrounds. We all have different personalities, very different, and I'm so thankful for that. But they're all meant to complement each other, right? It would be very boring this morning if we would all have the same personality here. And so, isn't it a beautiful gift that we all have a different personality? And we all have different life experiences. Sometimes some of those things, you know, like the testimony we heard this morning, some of those things are very powerful. Of someone's background, someone's upbringing, their different experiences, and how that feeds the body. Maybe there was somebody reminded this morning of some of the same things that Jonah struggled with, and you know what? There is hope. There is victory. There is a way to get some traction here. This diversity enriches the church. Another one, to live out the unity of the Spirit, we must maintain the bond of peace. We saw in Ephesians 3, it tells us to be eager to maintain the bond of peace. Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this requires humility, patience, love, and it takes grace. Truly, it takes grace. Someone asked me recently, how does your leadership team walk together in unity? Or how do you accomplish that? And you know what? The first thing is we truly love each other. We truly love each other because we're all from, again, we have different personalities, we have different experiences and upbringings and things of that sort. But at the end of the day, it takes God's grace to walk together. There's just no other way around it. We have to embrace the grace of God to be able to walk together in unity. If it weren't for the grace of God, we couldn't walk together. And I think every one of the leadership team couples would say that. It takes the grace of God. It takes the grace of God for you that are married to walk together as husband and wife. It just takes grace. And so let's embrace it. We're not going to be perfect. We're not always going to be right. Sometimes we're sure that we're right, and we probably are, but we're wrong in the way we say it. We're wrong in our attitude of how we say that we're right. And you know what? We all have the need to be right, but sometimes we don't. Even though we're right, it's wrong how it was portrayed. That takes grace. Sometimes it's like, you know what, you're right. Then you bite your tongue and you want to say, but I disagree with you. But you don't say it, and then you just say, you know what, you're right. I'm going to try to do better than that. I want to walk with you. Now, don't turn around and say, I told you so. I was right when something doesn't go the way that it was said. It takes grace. Forbearing together in love. Forbearing with each other. Humility, patience, and love. Working together in Romans 12:5, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, we must serve together, acknowledging that each of us has a role to play. Be a functional member. Be a functional being in the body of Christ. Dysfunction. Why do we become dysfunctional? I think we read some of those things. It causes us to go out of joint. It says, every joint supplieth. When we go out of joint, it could be that there is sin in our life, right? And so it's just coming to Jesus and just saying, just crying out and asking God to forgive you so you can become a part of this body, this church working together for the bride of Christ, which eventually, I was going to tie in the end time harvest to this, but it just didn't feel quite, it felt too long. And the Lord just changed that this morning. So I want to focus on the unity of the body, the unity of the Spirit in the body first. That takes place first before we ever even see that there is a harvest available. When you become one with Christ, you will get a burden for lost souls. It will become a part of your very being and your very fabric of how you live and how you walk. Those things will become real. You will be concerned about those within that are struggling. You will become concerned for the children that are not yet in the kingdom. When Jesus is your head. Let's go to John 17. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus prays for the believers here. And let's just work through this. Let's walk through this chapter here and just see how the love of the Father, the love of the Father is reflected here and how they so want us to be one. And Jesus prays for us here today. We can believe this today when we're walking together in unity. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent me. I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Just look at the working together, the teamwork, the unity, the oneness that they're working in. And have surely known that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Is that possible? Yes, it is. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Wow. This is our merciful Savior, Jesus Christ, praying for us that we wouldn't fall into evil things, that the evil would be taken away. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. It's interesting that he mentions that we are to be sanctified through the truth. We saw a couple chapters back that he Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. So we see just everything just keeps repeating itself and being intertwined and so solid and so sure. And I just get the picture this morning. They just have a deep desire for us to get it. Look at verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And he just keeps going again and again. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. And he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Wow. Wow. Verse 21 there. When we function as a unified body, we reveal Christ in the world. And he has a fervent prayer for us this morning. Jesus prays for the unity among the believers, that we may be one, the Father in us, him in us, that they also may be in one, that the world may believe that they have sent me. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in us, them, and I in them, us. The love that God had for his Son is in you today. If you foster that, nurture that, and feed that, it will grow to something that is way beyond where we are today. Let's believe God for this great love he has for us. The same love that raised Jesus from the dead is in us today. When we're child of God, that love is in us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That is, he is within us. He dwells within us. He abides. I don't know how much clearer a picture we can get this morning, but let's just believe God that he is all for us. Yes, we need to reach out to him. Okay, as we reflect on the unity of the Spirit with what we talked about, let's commit to nurturing that through our actions, our words, our prayers, our lifestyle. Does our lifestyle reflect the love of God? Yes. Let us seek to honor the Spirit by embracing one another and just celebrating that diversity that we talked about. You know, sometimes it's almost humorous how we can rub each other, if you would say it that way. I remember Mark Slaybaugh, he said that him and his wife were on a way to a marriage enrichment weekend, and they just had so much to prepare, and they were just all kind of stressed out, and on the way up the bypass to wherever they were going, they were just kind of rubbing each other, just, you know, it was a little stressful. And all of a sudden, they realized what they were doing, and they just burst out laughing. Here we are going to a marriage enrichment weekend, and we're getting on each other, just kind of irked. And they just burst out laughing. Wouldn't it be great? I mean, I think that's why laughter is a good medicine, right? It's sometimes humorous how what rubs me. When you say something or whatever. So celebrating that diversity, working together for the sake of the gospel. Jesus wants to abide in his church. He wants to abide in us. He wants to dwell in his people. And we can choose him. We can choose that by pursuing a deeper relationship with him. Oh, may the Spirit of God empower us to be witnesses of his unifying love, drawing many to the beauty of the body of Christ. Wow. Our unity is a testimony of the grace of God. This is not something that we can walk away here now today and say, we're all going to be in unity. Somehow this is going to, we're going to make this happen so every joint is supplied. You know what it comes down to? It comes down to each of us going home, falling on our knees, and asking God for mercy. And through that grace, he'll set us free in whatever we can't rid of ourselves. Then we can come together, and there'll be a praise in our heart, there'll be a testimony in our lives, and the Spirit of God will be in our midst. I can't just say there's going to be unity in this body and this is what we're going to do, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No. Jesus is the head of the church. He desires a deeper walk with us. He desires a deeper relationship with us. And through that, we will be able to walk together in love, forbearing with one another. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you will be in our midst and are in our midst. We thank you that we can invite you to dwell in us and that your love can take us to places beyond what we ever thought would be imaginable or possible. Far beyond what we ever thought of. God, I pray that that would be the case today. That we would come in unity with you first. In unity with your Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And allow him to have full access to our lives. And through that, we can walk together in unity as a body. That which every joint supplieth will be supplied. God, I pray that that would be the case today as we part from here. Let us be challenged. Let us be encouraged together. Let us have hope to reach out to the one who truly draws us to himself. And through that, there is a body, the body of Christ, the bride, that will be without spot or blemish or any such thing as we read this morning. But rather it will be a body walking in victory. And so we thank you. We bless you, Lord, and we just commit this word to you in Jesus' name. Amen.